spiritual baddies, entrepreneurs, and everyone in between.
You're listening to the Embodiment Podcast, where we dig into who you are behind closed doors.
And even if you aren't an entrepreneur or on your spiritual journey, but you're looking for something to listen to while you're on the treadmill,
or on the road, or just looking for some new knowledge to gain, welcome.
I'm your co-host, Ashley Fry.
And I'm Manote Series.
Okay, guys, welcome to episode 3. Today we're going to do a bit more of a
spiritual journey, more soul digging.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit more in depth into self, inner work, and things you can do, tools you can utilize. I need to start talking louder, especially we pulled the mic away from how close we had it before. So I'm going to work on that today, is raising my voice. But yeah, so in our work, what we wanted to channel to prioritize today was journaling and shadow work.
And there's actually a lot of misconceptions about both. So we're trying to help you guys understand what they really mean and how they can actually benefit you in your life.
And also learn a little bit more about each other's journeys with journaling and shadow work. I actually gave Mano some homework within the last
week. She did.
I told him, I said, 3 days out of the next week, I want you to go through some shadow work questions and find some that resonated with you and do a little bit of shadow work. And then I checked in with him on Monday and I said, hey, did you do your homework? And he said, no. So let's see what we pulled out of the last 2 days. Yeah. I think I did 2 days of shadow work on my own in the past week. But yeah, so let's talk about what shadow work actually, no, before we get into that, I want to ask you, when did you start journaling?
I actually started journaling at the beginning of the, or not the beginning of the pandemic, but maybe a few months into the pandemic, because my sister was talking about how she journals. And I was going and I was like, okay, maybe this looks like an interesting concept. Like, you know, why not try it? So I started doing it every night and I would journal. I'd actually find my prompts. Like that's what they're called. Like you write journal prompts and I'd go to Pinterest to find them. That's actually how I found them and started journaling.
Pinterest is the holy grail for so many things.
Oh no, literally. And it also shadow work too. Cause when we're going to get into, you know, the shadow work we've done, but they also have a really good prompts on Pinterest for that too. And I guess during the pandemic, it made it really good or a great time to decide to journal because that's the time where everyone was really depressed.
Oh, so we were all stuck alone.
Yeah, we were all stuck alone, right? So that we were basically communicating with ourselves and it helped us, I guess, get a better look into our psyche.
We were in our own little bubbles and people either went really high or really low when it came to that. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when did you start journaling, Ashley?
I
know you've been doing it a lot.
I've been doing it a lot, yeah. No, genuinely, when I started journaling was January of this year. So I have to say 2022 has been the most transformative year for myself and for my perception of myself and understanding myself. But I was also going to ask you, why did you start journaling?
Okay, well, that's a good question. Actually, it's probably the reason that a lot of people start journaling, but I was kind of depressed, you know, it was during quarantine.
Just a little.
Just a little bit,
just
you know?
Just a tad.
I was alone and the only person I had to talk to was my grandma who doesn't speak English and who watches soap operas, right? Obviously love her to death, but after a while it gets kind of depressing when you only have one person to talk to. So I started journaling to get a little bit into why I felt these different ways and how I could help myself in getting through them. And it actually really did help.
Did Rima tell you to start journaling or was it something that you took upon yourself to do?
She actually is the one that got me into it. I give her full credit for that because she's the one that was like, you should try journaling because like you need to understand you and you, who you are inside, not just outside. So I give her all credit and now, you know, I'm giving you credit too for getting me back into it because I stopped for a while.
Yeah, it's easy to fall out of the flow with it. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the biggest, it's hard. It is hard to keep up with it sometimes. And I think one thing that made it easier for me throughout my journey with journaling was putting no pressure on myself because when you prioritize it and you set expectations with it, it almost ruins the genuineness of it. And you could tell yourself, okay, every morning I want to do this. But then say something happens with family or just some situation takes you off track. And then you don't, it's almost like with the gym. Like this was something that I really had to work on within myself, was not putting too much pressure on myself for doing it. Because then when there's no pressure, I do it naturally without any stress and anxiety. And when you put pressure on yourself to do something like that, sometimes that pressure almost takes away from the excitement and, like I said before, the genuineness of doing it, right? So I think the less pressure you put on yourself and the more you just kind of make it a part of, like, you don't have to do it every morning at 7 a.m. You can, for me, sometimes I journal at 5 p.m. Sometimes I journal at 11 in the morning. Sometimes I journal at 1 in the morning. Like, as long as I said, like, we need to be aware of that today, too.
Don't worry.
But as long as I fit it into my schedule somewhere, I'm content.
Awesome. And I guess through this journey that you've gone through with journaling on a consistent basis, what are some of the benefits you'd say that you've derived from this?
Definitely understanding my emotions. I'm definitely more of an emotional person than a logical person. Some people...
Mama bear, yeah.
Some people do perceive me as a pretty logical person, but I think that's come with... the work that I've done to understand my emotions better. But yeah, understanding my emotions, understanding what I want and what I need when it comes to self and others, like even with friends, with family, there's been a lot of confusion for me in my life when it comes to different family relationships and understanding why things happen and why things don't happen in some relationships. And this has helped me a lot with that. And also one big thing that it's helped me with is setting my intentions for myself, for my actions, and also manifestations. I'd say more so affirmations than manifestations, but within those affirmations, my manifestations align a lot more.
See, that makes a lot of sense. Because I kind of mimic that with my experience doing journaling. One of the things, actually, in the first podcast, I talked about your love language.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that was actually one of the journal prompts that I did. Yeah. Like, I found it on Pinterest and I was like, oh, what's your love language?
So it made you understand that.
So it made, because yeah. I made the connection, like, oh my God. Because after I wrote down what my love language is, another prompt was saying, now, when you are sad,
yeah.
do you take that away? And I was like, oh my God, and that's why I brought it up that last time, because I was like, so intertwined, but it also broadens
you. Stuck with you too,
yeah,
right?
It's something that stuck with me, right? And that's the thing with journaling. It there's some things that stick with you, and there's some things that won't. But the things that stick with you will create a better version of yourself.
Yeah, I also think when you put thoughts to pen to paper, just with anything, like when you study, do you need to write things down?
For me personally, I know that writing things down is a better way of learning because you memorize it better. But because of technology and everything I have, I don't really have that much paper on me.
Yeah.
So I don't see myself like really like writing anymore.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
What about you?
I find that I do better when it comes to studying and stuff like that when I actually do write things down. So especially with memorization. Maybe not so much when it comes to... certain practices, but when it comes to memorization, I need to write things down. I need to take notes with my hand, with a pen in my hand, on paper.
And have you ever tried, I guess, verbal journaling? Like, I don't know if that's a real thing, but I kind of just made it up. But I wanted to see, like, have you ever tried verbal journaling, which would be like saying it out loud?
I have like video journals almost. I'd say a lot of the videos I have in my phone are technically video journals. I need to stop saying Yeah, let's just take a moment.
Just turn all the ums into
It's about to get real spiritual, bitch. Sorry, yeah. I can't.
We're having fun here, guys.
I almost said it again. Whew. Okay. I lost my train of thought.
We were talking about video journals.
Okay, yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily say that I make video or audio journals, but my friends and I send vlogs to each other, and a lot of the times those are video journals, which I save so I can go back and reflect on, right? So
that makes sense. I always do that too. It's the best with Snapchat because like it makes it easy to do that.
Yeah, my memories are filled with video journals.
Have you ever like, you know how sometimes when people go to sleep, they pray? Have you ever, before you slept, like instead of praying, like done like a, I guess, affirmations or manifestations, like in words, like saying them?
No, I usually do it written.
Written?
Yeah.
Because I've actually noticed for...
Oh, I don't have it in this journal. I brought my journal today and put it next to me so then I could reflect on a few things. But the other night, not last night, but the night before, sorry for cutting you off, by the way. But...
That's one of our values.
Oh, you're right. You're very right. I always feel the need to say sorry.
Same.
But the other night, I set my intentions for the following day. I sat there and I wrote, I said, I'm going to... As soon as my first alarm goes off, I'm going to put my feet on the ground. By doing this, this will da 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 da. And I kept going and I kept going and I played out my whole day through doing that.
That's really smart. That is actually, a famous person talked about do that exact method where you say like, okay, the alarm wakes up after, or sorry, not the alarm.
Good morning.
After the alarm goes off, then you get out of bed. After you get out of bed, you make your bed. After the bed is made, you go get breakfast. It's like,
and then you brush your teeth.
And then you brush your teeth. Oh shit.
It's okay.
Then you brush your teeth. It's like a whole process, but it helps you get shit done.
Yeah.
Because you're 100%. Doing things. Each thing you do is like, hey, after I do this, I have to do this next. Yeah. And it makes it easy. It's like bite-sized processes.
Yeah.
I guess the reason I bring up the verbal journaling, almost, if that's what we can call it, is because that's something that I've realized has really helped me in the past few years doing it.
Well, even if you do some research into manifesting and stuff like that, you'll see, hear, read, people say, when you manifest, say it out loud, right? Mm-hmm. If you're walking down the street and there's no one near you, even if there are people near you, who fucking cares? It's your world. Everyone else is living in your world. Don't worry. But if NPCs. You're walking down the street and you're feeling a little off, start to say your affirmations out loud, and your oh my gosh, I'm blanking today like crazy. Your energy, there we go, that's the word I needed. Your energy will totally shift just by walking down the street and saying, I am da da da. Today I feel da da da, right?
Yeah, and it's so crazy that you say that with the energy too. Like, because what I've noticed is sometimes after saying like an affirmation out loud or saying a manifestation, I'll be getting ready in the morning and I'll be walking somewhere and I'll just get goosebumps everywhere. And I'll feel like the energy, like the power just like infiltrate into me. And I'm like, holy shit, like this is like, I feel powerful.
You feel it surrounding you.
It's crazy. Like, that's why I live by verbal manifestations and also written. I do written because you need a bit of both.
I think I need to implement verbal a little bit more into my life now that we're talking about it.
I think I need to do opposite. Like, I need to do the written more. And then, so like, you know, we'll come back to this and we'll see like what happens with us. Like, if we, how things have shifted in our lives after
implementing this. This will not be our only episode on journaling and shadow work. Don't you worry.
No, 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 no. We'll have follow-ups. We'll have follow-ups.
No, 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 no. Okay, so... we went over how you got into it, how we both got into it, our intentions with journaling. Okay. So what would you, no, we already, I would say we already discussed this a little bit. Are there any other things besides knowing yourself that you wanted to get out of journaling?
I think journaling, well, one of the reasons I did it was obviously to learn more about my psyche and learn how I think about things. Because it really gives you that insight into your brain, like how you materialize things that you learn in the world. Yeah. And that was probably the biggest reason. But I also did it just to learn in general. Because as you said, with the love language thing, like I did not know that before. And then that's something completely new I learned that now is in my everyday. I'm like, if I get sad, okay, you're sad, so don't isolate yourself. Because your love language is being around others, touch, like having that connection. So why would I take that away from me? And you know, and that's a huge thing I learned.
Yeah. I think what's really important about journaling is the fact that you can go back and reflect on these things at any point in time. Like, I can pull out my journal right now and show you everything that I've journaled about for the past 11 months. And
you and she's not lying.
I'm not lying. And you don't have to go back and reflect to even remember how you felt when you were doing that, mm-hmm. right? So there are times throughout the past year, I can think about moments, I can think about memories where I know I went and utilized my journal to kind of simplify how I was feeling and understand. I think the biggest thing when it comes to journaling is understanding, whether it's about you or whether it's about other people. Because when you put it on paper, sometimes you don't realize, but you've got all this word vomit sitting inside you. And it's hard to organize your brain sometimes. So when you put it on paper, it really gives you a platform to properly organize your thoughts, other people's actions, your own actions. Even though you don't have control over what other people do, it still helps you rationalize those things.
And it's so cool that you view it that way, because I actually view it the opposite way. Like, I have a crap ton of word vomit inside me.
Yeah.
And the reason I don't show anyone my journals is because I literally just vomit it on the page.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. But when I look at it afterwards, I'm like, I pick out the words and I'm like, oh my God, this makes, I can put it together. I'm like, okay, this is what I was trying to, like, this is everything that was inside me that I can finally communicate because it's out on paper.
I'm sure if you pulled out one of the pages where you felt like it was just word vomit on there and it didn't make sense and I read it, it would probably make sense to me.
I think it also looks like chicken scratch. Like, when I tell you, I write, like, I literally...
No, but that's good. It just means that you're getting it out there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very... When I'm writing, I'm very OCD when it comes to my writing. So, like, yeah, I'll show you really quickly. Like, you'll notice the times wherein I'm running out of time.
You have such clean handwriting.
I'm very picky with my writing. Very picky.
Oh, you'd hate my handwriting.
Like, no, I wouldn't. It's not even about that. I don't care about other people's, but I'm so picky with my own. It's just something that I've always had to, yeah.
No, it's so nice, though. I mean, like, I wish I had handwriting like that.
We will post a photo of my journal entry on our Instagram. No, actually.
Stay tuned.
No. I've actually, in the past, so out of all of my friends, only one of my close friends, my best friend, she actually is the one that I started my journaling journey with. She bought me this journal. Gave it to me when I was back in BC, and then I brought it with me to Toronto with the intention of filling it up. And I did exactly that. But one of the things that held me accountable the whole time was almost every morning, okay, from January to, let's say, April, she and I would send our journal entries to each other. Even if she was at the pool, like when she was working, she would do her journal entry and she would send me a photo of it. So I had someone that I could be very transparent with about my entries, and we gave each other feedback. We reflected, like, it was almost like having a self-help partner, right?
Exactly.
And so that really, really helped me. I think that's very important when you get into doing something that you've never done before. And I think it was both of our first times actually journaling properly and doing it with intention, right? So that really helped me, but also I have her, and then there's other people in my life who have no experience as well, who kind of were in the same position that I was in before. And I've had friends take photos of my journal entries. Sorry. Yeah, I do need to talk louder. He's like looking at me, raising his hand, like, talk louder, talk louder.
I'm trying not to be distracting. I'm just like, you know what?
It's okay. It's okay. We're all here. They can't see us, but they're here with us.
They're here with us in spirit.
But I've actually, I've let friends read my journal entries and take photos of them because it helped me a lot. It helped me a lot in knowing myself, in healing, in being able to communicate my feelings, communicate what I was feeling. And I don't, like, for me personally, like, we said at the beginning, I keep saying like, I'm going to stop saying like, but one thing we said at the beginning was we were going to put everything on the table, an open book, right? And that's just who I am as a person. Like, I am an open book, head to toe. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to give you honest feedback, constructive criticism. I'm going to be honest with you.
She says it how it is.
And also, but with appreciation as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I genuinely appreciate something, I'm not going to shut up about it. I'm going to, right? And so, especially when it comes to self-work, I don't want to hide what has helped me from other people. So I don't care if somebody reads a page of my journal and they know a little bit more about what's going on inside my head. If it helps them, it helps them, right? So.
And how would you suggest, or like, I guess, what advice would you give someone who is trying to start journaling themselves? Because we've talked so much about our own journeys, but how can someone else start their own?
I think when it comes to journaling, don't censor yourself. Don't judge yourself. I look at, here, I'll show you my first page of my journal, and compared to the rest of my entries, I didn't know what I was doing at all. So the journal prompt on the actual journal I have says why I so totally got this today. And I didn't follow it throughout the book, but the first one I did. So I started off with, I totally got this today because I am capable of anything that is put in my way. And I went on throughout that. And it was probably like a 10 sentence journal, but I look at that and I'm like, oh my God, this girl didn't know what she was doing. This girl did not know how to get inside her head. But at the time, I didn't put any judgment on myself. I put no pressure on myself. So I think when it comes to journaling, don't limit yourself to what you're putting on the paper. Don't judge yourself and just jump into it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no harm in just jumping in blinded, because sometimes you're supposed to do things blinded. You're supposed to do things where you don't know, because that's the only way that you learn.
That's 100%. That's the only way you learn, is actually by jumping in and doing it. We've said that so many times during this podcast in the last three episodes. So like, it is something we truly believe. And if you do, like, some people, you know, you might not know how to get started. It's as easy as going on Pinterest and searching up journaling prompts.
Even on Google.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere, right? Like the other day, I think I went on TikTok and I searched up shadow work prompts.
Yeah.
TikTok has a lot of good stuff on there too.
It's a search engine. Might as well use it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a perfect segue into shadow work.
Yeah.
And what it is, because a lot of people think that shadow work is working with the devil and thinking of all these other things.
Doing rituals.
Yeah, what you do in rituals, like this witchcraft thing. But what, in your opinion, like in your words, how would you describe what shadow work really is?
So, shadow work. Moment of silence, please, for our shadow. Your shadow is basically the side of you that you don't fully understand, or that you try to hide from other people because you're almost embarrassed, or you feel you judge. It's like the part of yourself that you judge, and so you feel judgment coming from other people. But when you do shadow work, you'll actually come to realize that the only reason why you feel like other people are going to judge it is because because you are judging it yourself. And everything that you think and you feel that you feel or think about other people is a projection of your inner self. So when you do your shadow work, when you do like touch the part of you that doesn't want to be seen, that hates itself for certain reasons, for certain things, you start to lighten up in your outer world as well. So it's basically just breaking yourself down and figuring out the parts of yourself that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah, I resonate with the part where you say that your shadow is who you don't want the world to see.
Yeah, it's the one you're uncomfortable with.
It's the one you're uncomfortable with,
that you're
right?
hiding, yeah.
And everybody, I don't care who you are, you could be Gandhi for all I care. You have a shadow. Everyone has a shadow that they, or I'm just calling it a shadow, but it's a side. Shadow, yeah. Everyone has a dark side. And it's important to really do shadow work, because when you kind of pull out the things from that dark side of you, you can look at them more retrospectively and be like, hey, this thing I don't like about myself, how can I fix it? Or how can I improve it so it affects me less than it does now?
Yeah. I think also what comes with that is your shadow is the part of you that almost protects you from everything uncomfortable in the outer world as well, right? So when you're a kid and you go through trauma, or you get bullied, or you go through experiences that make you feel uncomfortable, you kind of build this identity around yourself where you believe those things, right? Like, there's parts of me that I really had to dig into, like, moments when I was younger, and I was a bigger kid. We've talked about this, right? And we talked about...
We were both chunky monkeys.
Yeah, we were both chunky monkeys. We talked about the bullying, right? And I remember, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, actually, but I remember being an 8-year-old on a school trip, and one of the kids in my grade, his older brother, made a comment about me being fat. And so that stuck with me, and that became a part of my shadow for so long, because I had an older person who had more life experience, who was also of the opposite gender, who had said this about me, and I believed it because of those terms, right? And so that, when you go through things like that, it really does shape and form your shadow. And outer things become a part of your inner world.
Especially when you're already self-conscious.
Yeah.
In that case scenario, when you're talking about when we were both chunky monkeys, whatever, when that kid made that comment, he was enforcing or reinforcing your belief that you already had, that you were not good enough, yeah, because of that.
Yeah.
And that is why it stung so much. And the same thing, I could talk to that because the same thing happened to me. Kids are rude, you know? Mm-hmm. That's just the nature. Mm-hmm. Kids are rude. And for me, they also were, like, I always was getting bullied in middle school because of my weight. People would always make fun of me, being like, he's fat, blah, blah, he looks like a tomato, oh, man of the tomato. I'm like, like people actually call me that, man of the tomato.
I'm sorry for laughing.
No, don't worry about it. Like,
I'm so sorry.
It's funny so now. Bad. I look back at it and I'm like, it's funny.
How did they come up with that?
I don't know. I'm maybe because I was fat and someone... red. I don't know, but it.
But you were not red.
I see. I don't understand. But anyways, like, that stuck with me, and that's one of the deciding factors that made me like, hey, I cannot let this determine who I am. And that was also part of shadow work.
Going off of what you just said too, even when I was older, even when I was approaching grade, I think it was grade 11, when I was working at McDonald's, actually, and I used to make this joke, oh yeah, they just hired me because my last name's Fry. But then one of my friends, actually, in my close friend group too, not even just like someone I knew, it was someone in my close friend group, he said to one of my best friends, oh, Ashley is working at McDonald's now. Let's hope Ashley Fry doesn't turn into Ashley Hamburger. And I thought that was the stupidest thing ever when I heard
that
it.
That literally doesn't even make sense.
Like, okay, little white boy. But also, sometimes things like that, no matter how stupid they are,
they affect you.
They affect you, and they get tied into other... It's like the correlation between that and the other comments that had been made in the past. And also just like the last name Fry, like... The French fry joke was made all the time, right? And, like, it's not bad. Now I think about it, and it's funny, right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
My family's French. My last name's Fry. Like, I'm a French fry. Like, whatever, right? But it does stick with you sometimes, even when it is stupid. Like, man of tomato, that's stupid as fuck. There's no... I don't think I would ever look at you as a kid and even think of that name. I don't know how someone would come up with that, but yeah.
Yeah, it was a strange time, but it also... shows you that people love to project on their insecurities. A huge thing is a lot of the people that come to you and will make fun of you for certain things is because they're insecure about it themselves. A big thing is I know that there are a lot of straight men that are very homophobic to other people. And it always ends up that they are the
toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity. They're always the ones that end up, you know, being gay, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they make fun of it because they're insecure about it themselves. And that's why every time someone does anything and they project on others, people are like, hey, well, you know, look in the mirror and take a rain check and go back and fix yourself, because it's not, other people are not your problem. Projection, you are your only problem.
Projection. I think one of the biggest things you can work on when you do self-work is projection and the way that you project onto other people. Sorry. just a quick stutter.
Yeah.
Also, the English accent has been pouring out of me today. So if I accidentally jump into that. But yeah, projection. Work on when you are walking out in public. And this is something that I've had to work on a lot too, because I have a lot of insecurities in my own that I've worked on, and they come and go. They do come and go. I go through phases where I feel a lot better and where I'm not holding on to that anxiety, but then I go through phases where it's almost impossible to control the anxiety. But when you're walking in public and you get a thought against someone or something that is negative, stop, pause, think about what your brain just said and say, is that actually what I think or is that what I feel about myself? Because most of the times when you think like that or you have a negative thought, it's a projection of the things that you don't like about yourself, not actually what you see in that other person.
And that's an example of repressing your shadow.
Yeah.
And that's a bad thing to do. Because when you repress your shadow, you're building up all that negative energy under you, inside of you. Mm-hmm. And it is going to come out at some point. We don't know when, but it's going to come out at some point. So that's what happens when you repress your shadow. And it's important that you, doing shadow work, you actually determine what those things are. And you can use that journaling or however you do the shadow work to help alleviate those things and make it so that you can live with them or even get rid of them entirely if they don't serve you.
Yeah. I think another very important thing, and we're about to get real, real spiritual with this one, but when you go through your spiritual journey and you dive deeper into who you are and who we are as human beings, you come to realize that we are all one. Like, I am you and you are me, yin yang, right? But in different projections, right? So at the end of the day, if you're feeling that way, that person probably also felt that way. Another person probably also felt that way, maybe in a different lens, maybe in a different craft, but we all feel similar things based upon our outer world. And the more that you reflect those things back on other people, the more that you add to that, the more that you add to that unconsciousness of negativity and other things, right? So the more you become conscious and you're able to do things out of love and love yourself and love other people for all their flaws and their own insecurities, the easier it gets to move through things without anxiety.
Oh my God, especially anxiety. Anxiety actually is one of the biggest, I don't even know, what do you categorize anxiety? Because it's one of the biggest things in our generation right now.
Well, we live in such a stimulated world.
Yeah.
There, you walked, even being in Toronto, it brings so much anxiety sometimes for me. But then I'm reminded, I'm just one little thing walking in this big city. Who the fuck cares? You go out, that's why others usually say, don't be embarrassed. Like if my friends do something and they're like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed or whatever, I'm like, those people aren't going to remember that in 10 days. They're not going to remember that in 2 years. Like, at the end of the day, yeah, we might feel a little uncomfortable, but it's because the reason why we feel uncomfortable is because we're actually the ones doing it this time, right?
Yeah.
So especially even starting this podcast, it was a little weird at first to sit down and actually record, and we were a little angsty, yeah. But that's because we've only ever listened to other people do it before. We never done it ourselves. But then that's also what makes it so special, is you're the one doing it this time, right? Yeah. So I think when you sit back, you think about it. Sorry, we're downtown right now. So
we're in the big city.
Yeah, we're in the big city, so you hear the honking. But I think when you actually sit down, reflect, and flip the script, you're able to appreciate that uncomfortable feeling rather than get anxious about it.
And
it's all about how you look at things. It's all about the script, the narrative that you let happen in your head.
Yeah, it's huge. And that's why journaling helps you with
that. It helps you control it.
It helps you control it.
That's why it's so important. I'm getting so excited right now. I'm like, oh my God.
The passion is coming out of it. It's journaling should be done out of love. It shouldn't be done out of fear or out of anxiety. Or it should be done out of love, because if you do it out of love, you will solve all those other issues that you do have.
That is totally applicable. And I was on the phone with one of my friends the other day, and we were talking about quitting smoking weed, different things like that. And I said to her, you have a good head on your shoulders. You know what you're doing. You need to trust yourself. And when you decide that you want to stop doing these things, when da 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 da, I've been going real Buddhist, real spiritual on my friends and my family.
We recently love to see it.
Actually, even with my cousin the other day. But I said to her, when you're doing that, do it through loving yourself. Don't get mad at yourself. Don't put pressure on yourself. I'm counting my points on fingers right now too. You guys can't see this, but do it through love. Because if you do things through hate, especially when it comes to inner work, it's not going to be consistent. Mm-hmm. You're going to, like, it's going to be good in the short term, but it's like when it comes to losing weight, you know, you starve yourself for 2 months, you're going to lose weight and people are going to be like, oh my God, you look so good. Da, da, da. But then what happens when you're living fast paced and you can't function without eating properly and stuff? So you start gaining all that weight back and stress and, you know, so when you do things out of love and you do it with good intentions and loving intentions and you talk highly to yourself, you talk highly to people around you, things just continue to get better and it's a permanent thing. Obviously there's highs and lows and everything, but the more consistent you are with love and with loving intentions, the more consistent you will be with the longevity of things and outcomes.
And going more spiritually into that, when you come from doing things within love, if you want something, like this is going into manifesting now, but when you're trying to manifest something, and even in your journaling, you have to be the person you're trying to manifest. If you are trying to manifest someone who is in a loving relationship, you need to be the type of person that is in a loving relationship, and that person would be someone who loves themselves.
Yeah.
Because you cannot love someone else if you don't love yourself. That's just the name of the game. That's how it works. It's love. I'm going to say this is going to be controversial.
I think that's a tricky one, because I think you can love people if you don't love yourself, but I think you can only love people to the to the level that you love yourself, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can love people, but say you're with someone who fully loves themselves and you still struggle with insecurities and not loving yourself fully, you're going to create an anxiety around things where there's no anxiety needed. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you can only really love people to the level that you're emotionally available with yourself, right?
100%.
Because especially when it comes to anxiety, when it comes to things like that, we create this narrative in our head, we create scenarios, we think about things too in depth when they're not, like, when that's not a reality. But then over time, the more that you do that, especially with someone who doesn't do that, it's almost like it pushes them away, right? Yeah. Because they're not at that level. And if you can't help yourself, if you don't want to help yourself, no one else will. Someone can tell you to do this and they can tell you to do that, but until you genuinely want to go do it, you're not going to go fucking do it, right?
And that's, like, I have nothing else to say about that. That's because that's all there is to say about that.
Yeah. Sorry, I went down the spiel there.
No, don't worry. It's good because it's accurate. You know, that's how everyone functions. No one's going to do what they don't want to do.
Yeah.
And we've seen that with weight loss, with smoking, with, you know, everything in life. You have to physically want it to do it. Also, before we end off the podcast, I just want to give a special shout out to Mrs. Kelly Fry, because Queen has been listening to our podcast every week. I love her. I love hearing the feedback, Kelly.
He's yelling. No, but seriously, I was in class and we have our embodiment email, right? And my mom sent me an email with
feedback.
With feedback, thank you. With points. And so I forwarded it to Mano so he could read it while I was in class. And then I look at my watch and I'm getting emails from my mom and from Embodiment Pod. And I'm like, what? And I go and I check and my mom's talking about our dog, talking about other things in the email. I'm like, oh my God, he knows more about what's happened today than I do. But thank you, Mom, Queen K, for giving us feedback. We will have you on here soon enough. You guys, if you ever need any financial, any real estate advice, anything to do with investing, hit her on Instagram. Let me make sure that her Instagram
handle. And while she's getting that up, I'll also say thank you to everybody who was viewing our podcast in general, because we really do appreciate you. We love that we have this community now where these people, where you guys come and listen to us talk about these topics that really shape our lives.
Again, too, if you think of anything that you want us to talk about, or if anything we talk about sparks a thought on a different topic, please send us a DM, send us one personally, send it to our Instagram, anything. Like, we want to know, we want to talk about these things. We have a list of things to talk about, but we would love to add to that. Like, this is going to be a never-ending thing. So And also her Instagram is at Kelly M. Fry. So if you have any questions, go message her.
And yeah, as always, we love you guys, and we will see you next week.
We won't see you, but we'll talk to you next week.
You'll hear us.
Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the show this week. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can write to us at embodimentpod@gmail.com. And if you want to send us a DM, it's at embodiment.pod.
Or if you'd like to follow us or message us personally on Instagram, it's at Emmanuel Series and at Ashley.Fry. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Mano.
And you've been listening to Embodiment, who you are behind closed doors. Thank you guys. Have a beautiful day, babies. And I am so grateful for you.